Okay, off we go then to the telephone line, and hopefully Gary Puckett will be on the other end of the line right now. Very good day to you, Gary.
Well, thank you very much. It's the beginning of our day, and a very good day to you as well, sir.
Well, it's absolutely wonderful that you've taken the time to do this with us, because we have so many people, you know, that live out in Spain who grew up in the UK, and that record and that song was such a big influence on our growing up time. That I thought it would be nice to have a chat with you and find out how life's treated you. Because it's been a wonderful song, that, hasn't it?
Well, thank you very much, Vince. I appreciate that. In fact, a very good friend of mine from Herman's Hermits now owns a home there, probably in your neighborhood someplace, and they're very pleased to call it home. So I'm glad to be talking to you.
Whereabouts exactly are you right now?
I'm on the east... Well, no, I'm not. I'm on the west coast of Florida. Do you know where Tampa is?
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's halfway down the coast, and we're right close to the Gulf, so it's a very nice part of the world. We have a little lake behind our house, and there's gators back there, and all the wildlife that you can imagine from the tropics.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, when you start reading biographies and looking at what people have done, I hadn't realized that in 1968 you were actually outselling the Beatles, weren't you?
Well, that's what they tell us, according to the history books and so forth. I know that we were the number one record-selling artist of the year, and sold a lot of records that year. In fact, our first four records went gold that year, as well as the albums, so we did pretty doggone well.
And, of course, the other one that was, for me, I think probably the other big one that we used to play of yours a lot in the discos was Lady Willpower.
Right, very good.
So, now, let's go back to 1971, when you disbanded the Union Gap.
All right.
Was that a sad time, or was it something that just was, you know, the evolution came and went?
Well, you know, the answer to both really is yes, it was a sad time, but that's really what happens oftentimes. You know, the lifespan of a group in those days was probably about 14 months, as I remember the statistic to be. But, you know, I just sort of liken it to being married to, you know, five people instead of one. You've all got different ideas sometimes, and sometimes your compatibility sort of changes because of your ideas and your direction in life.
Okay. Now, on the 1970, I think it was 74 I read. Oh, no, sorry, 1984, you went on this very, very successful tour. Was it the Happy Together Tour, I think it was called, wasn't it?
That's right. It was the very first oldies tour. As we say, that went out there, and it did very, very well. It was the Turtles, the Association, and Spanky and our gang. Were they, I think they were all popular probably in your neighborhood over there, correct?
Yes, yes. Well, I tell you, the Turtles, Happy Together, was always a huge song. I think everybody seemed to like the Mamas and Papas, a number of their songs. Spanky and our gang, just the odd one, I think.
I think so, yeah. But it was a great tour. It was a lot of fun. It brought a lot of people together. And it was the very first time that four oldies acts from the 60s had been brought together to do that. And it was very, very successful. So we had a great time.
That tends to be very big business in Europe, the 60s revivals. And I was lucky in the respect that I was in Liverpool at a time when a lot of those groups were really doing the business. And of course, when you meet people later in life, it's lovely when you realize just who you're actually being with.
Always nice to put a face with a voice, you know.
Yes.
What I mean? It's great to do that.
Well, I thought this was rather nice that was written about you. It says, his casual, mild-mannered demeanor on and off the stage gives no indication of the powerful singing voice.
Oh, well, that's a nice little piece, isn't it?
It is, and it says a singing voice that has not diminished over the years, if anything, has got stronger.
Well, voices change over the years, and I think it has grown in its depth and breadth and maturity, so... I can still sing pretty strong, and I've got a lot of fans out there that are really terrific people. So we go out, we play the music, and we have fun with the people as much as we can.
Well, I'm going to try and tie two things together, because in my studio that is part of my show, I have another guest who's done something very similar to what you did. So I'm going to introduce you both.
All right.
Basically, where you did a command performance, could you tell us about that?
Oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I really can't describe it. Completely. It was for Prince Charles and Princess Anne. It was during the Nixon administration. Now, regardless of what you may think of him as a politician,
oh, yes,
or
yes,
whatever, they were hosting Prince Charles and Princess Anne at the White House. and they wanted to have a celebration, let's call it. So they decided they would have some music, they would have a big political, social evening, and they built a big stage out on the south portico, out on the lawn, and they asked Prince Charles who he would like to have as the musical guest, and he decided he wanted to have the Guess Who, and Princess Anne decided she'd like to have Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. So the two of us were the entertainment for the evening, and it was just an incredible day all in all, because as the day went by, we were setting up the stage, and they just allowed me to walk around the White House grounds, and that day I met the president himself along with many of his Secret Service, and they allowed me to walk through the White House with my camera and take pictures, and it was just a marvelous, wonderful day. It ended up with a huge, huge fireworks display over the site where the concert was, and we met all the political figures and, of course, many of the other famous folks that they invited to the celebrations. So it was marvelous.
Well, I have Prince Charles in the next studio, so I'm going to ask Prince Charles if you can remember that date.
I remember it very well, actually. And on that particular day, I had a headache, and quite honestly, I wasn't looking forward to listening to any band at all. Gary sort of made it go away, which is fantastic. I enjoyed his music very much indeed.
Gary, this is world-famous impressionist Paul Melba, who's with me in the studio.
Hi, Paul.
Hiya, kid. How are you?
Hey, man, you sound great. That was wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
Could you do Prince Philip as well? For
Prince Philip is rather boring, his voice. Everything runs into each other, very much like his son. I too am one of your greatest fans.
In actual fact, this afternoon we're going to have a workshop, Gary, and
yeah.
Paul is looking at the work in particular of Rocky Balboa. Have you worked with Stallone at all?
With Sylvester? No, I've never worked with him, but I've always been a big fan of his movies.
Yeah, he's actually here with us this afternoon.
Oh, good, good. I'd love to say hello to him.
Rocky Balboa, I find this, I really think this is terrific. I'm talking to a guy like this. It's embarrassing, I'm just a punk here, I lost my status a long time ago, and this is embarrassing. He just
yo,
asked me,
Adrian.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
Yo.
Hey, yo, Adrian. Well, I always say that when we get these things and you're learning them, first of all, the accent, which is always amuses me. If you go, they call it the village in New York, which I worked many years ago, and around Queens and that, and they have their own language.
It's oh, yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of Italians, and they talk like this. He's a douchebag and things like this. He just want to come up the front, just want to sit the back here. And he says, hungry, forget about it. We're starving to death over here. He's talking like this.
You got to get a bada bing in there someplace.
Bada bing here. Yeah. It's great. I love it. It's an accent all on its own now. But if you lower it, if you stick to that accent and lower it, you're absolutely like this, it's the same accent, but you're talking like this, I'm just a ham and egg, I'm fighting the biggest man in the world.
Hey, will the real Paul please stand up?
Gary, going back to the time when you first brought that song out, it was about the time of Flower Power, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, that's kind of what it was, and if any of you ever had the opportunity to come over and visit the U.S., especially San Francisco, you would have seen it in full bloom, as it were, and certainly you heard it all over the airwaves.
And of course, listening to you talking about the Guess Who, as an invited band, of course, I can immediately recount I Loved American Woman. It was just one of those songs that really, I thought it was a great song.
Yeah, they had a lot of great records.
Did you feel that there was a specialness about the music that was around about that sort of time?
Well, yeah, of course, you have to get years down the road to really think that, and I do now think there was a great specialness about it. Of course, it was special to us, in the time that it was happening, but I don't think that any of us really realized how special a lot of that music really was, because as today, when I look at music in general, I just can't imagine that, 20, 30, 40 years from now, they're going to be able to pick out a particular song and say, well, gee, that was really wonderful song, you know, some of the hip-hop or the whatever. In fact, my keyboard player, Mariano Longo, and I were talking about it just the other day, and he was saying that the charts have become so fragmented that that's why things are compartmentalized so much, that people today aren't aware of all the music. In those days, music could cross the international line, and you know, we only had AM radio basically, and FM was just starting. So all these years later, we have all the different charts that that fragment the music so much. Am I making sense with this?
No, absolutely. No. And I think Paul wants to say something, didn't you, Paul?
I agree with everything you say there, because it's either one thing or the other. At one time, it used to be the lyrics, and you had the music, and you've sort of blended them both together. And for some reason, I like a good film. You always have a guy that will pick great music for that film.
Right.
And in those days, to be able to get the two together. Now, as you say, it's fragmented. You get one part that is sensible, the words are great, but the music's crap. The other, you can have it the other way around. And just recently, they had a record that was broken. Oasis has beaten the Beatles over the overall winners over a long period of time. They've beaten them by 70,000 or something like that, which is zilch. In as much as you think of the overall figure, it's not very much to have taken all that time, or the short time that they've taken to get to that figure. But if you look at it on the overall picture, I think the Beatles will last that much longer than what the Oasis will. I don't think you'll hear Oasis music 100 years from now.
Yeah,
but I think you'll hear the Beatles music. Everyone sings it, Sinatra, everybody, and they'll keep singing it, and there's different variations of it. But
well,
Oasis
won't be. It crossed
all
generations, and it crossed all, you know, all lines.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about it. I mean, it's the music of my era, certainly, and we found ourselves anticipating the next release, especially once they were so established.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a reminder of happier times, you know, 50s, 60s, 60s, when it really, the introduction of Beatles, the platform for it all, Elvis Presley started it all off with their, you know, rocking, who's it, Berry? Berry, wasn't it?
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. And we're talking about these guys that with the platform for the music that we're hearing today. We listen to that music and they say, well, oh no, that's passé now, it's gone, it's what. But we keep getting revivals of that. But I can't see revivals of the 80s and the 90s.
No.
I can't see those revivals.
Gary, the big thing is we've got, as I say, thousands and thousands of people who will always remember that song, Young Girl.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that's the truth. It seems to be the biggest, you know, the one they always want to hear. The minute I get on stage, they're shouting Young Girl. And that's usually the song that I end the show with.
It's almost like an anthem, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of happy times.
Gary, I must thank you very much indeed for giving us this time and this interview. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Let's talk again sometime, fellas.
Yes, I'll do that. I'll write to you.
All right, please do.
Thank you, Gary.
So long, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Absolutely lovely.
Get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. You better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. With all the charm.